The Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki has asked the International Criminal Court, the ICC at The Hague, immediate investigation into Israel's war crimes and also the apartheid against the Palestinian people. Israel has reacted to the move, saying the referral is legally invalid, quote, since Israel is not a member of the court and because the Palestinian Authority is not a state. But should that be reason enough not to hold account Israel, which has committed numerous violations against Palestinians, which include the death of civilians?
For the first time, the Palestinian government has submitted a referral to the International Criminal Court, the ICC, calling on prosecutors to open an immediate investigation into Israeli crimes and apartheid against the Palestinian people. In a press conference at The Hague, the Palestinian foreign minister detailed the referral against the Israeli atrocities committed with impunity.
The state of Palestine took this step on behalf of the citizens of the state of Palestine who have suffered for generations the consequences of crimes committed with impunity by Israeli officials and citizens. This step pursues justice by demanding accountability. Those most responsible for the crimes highlighted in the referral must be held accountable for their actions without further delay.
The request will give prosecutors authority to investigate the Israeli crimes from 2014 onwards. It also asked the ICC to investigate human rights violations linked to Israel's illegal settlement activities on the occupied Palestinian territories. Commenting on the Palestinian referral to the ICC, the Israeli Foreign Ministry in a tweet stressed that the request lacked any legal standing. Analysts, however, believe that Israeli officials must be held accountable for their crimes against Palestinians.
Any country that's a signatory to the ICC should be impugning those members of the Israeli authority who are responsible or in any way guilty of or likely to be guilty of helping their government to attack Palestinians.
The referral comes a week after over 60 Palestinians were killed and more than 2,700 others were wounded in Israeli live fire near the Gaza fence. The massacre of Palestinians occurred on the eve of the 7th anniversary of Nakba Day, which coincided with the opening of new U.S. embassy in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds. The occupied territories have witnessed new tensions ever since U.S. President Donald Trump in December announced Washington's recognition of Jerusalem al-Quds as Israel's capital. With the widespread criticism and condemnation of Israeli atrocities, one cannot still expect any practical measures by the international community to put an end to the seemingly unending plight of Palestinians as long as Tel Aviv enjoys a red carpet treatment from its longtime ally, Washington.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, journalist and Middle East expert, Hafsa Qara Mustafa, joins us from London. And we have reporter and political commentator, Maxine Dover, who joins us from New York. I'd like to welcome you both, and Maxine Dover, let me start first with you. Do you think that Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki, representing the Palestinians, has the right to take Israel to the ICC court?
Well, I think first the question has to be raised as to whether he's representing the Palestinians or he's representing the Hamas leadership in Gaza. With regard to whether or not he has the right to take the question to the ICC, since Israel is not a member of the ICC, nor is the United States, there is a question of whether or not there is any legal authority. And there is a further question, a deeper question, which is whether or not there are, in fact, war crimes, or rather, defense of a border.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Israel has killed Palestinians?
The soldiers of Israel, in defense of maintenance of their border, have used live ammunition, and yes, some citizens of Palestine over Gaza had died, but the majority of those who died were in combat format, as were the soldiers.
Did they have weapons?
These were soldiers against soldiers.
Did the Palestinians have weapons?
In the main, they do.
Okay, let's move on
to... Are we talking about guns? Maybe not necessarily guns, but we are talking about grenades. We are talking about Molotov cocktails. We are talking about fence cutters that were going to be used, knives. Yes, they did have weapons.
Okay, Hafsah Mustafa, you heard our guest there, and
it's not unarmed, nor peaceful protester.
It's interesting that she said whether Riyad al-Maliki represents Hamas or the Palestinian people. Immediately, she drew a perception. Let's put it that way. What do you think about Maxine Dober's comments there, Hafsah Mustafa?
Well, there's a question I'd like to ask Maxine Dover when she says that Israeli soldiers are protecting Israeli borders. So the question is, what are Israeli borders? Because as far as I'm aware, there are no Israeli borders. Israel continues to have an expansionist policy. It continues to occupy the Golan Heights, on top, of course, of Gaza and Ramallah, and indeed all of Palestine. It has continuously invaded Lebanese sovereign territory. It continues to make incursions even into Egypt, which is a supposed ally. So what exactly are the borders that Israel is supposed to protect?
Maxine Dover.
Well, I think the one at Gaza is pretty well accepted as an armistice line within the UN regulations. But that brings another question. And the question is, why not come to the table in sincere negotiation?
No, I've asked the question, what are Israel's borders?
Not only for Israel, but for the Palestinian people.
What are the borders, Maxine?
Well, for one thing,
and the question to answer your question of where are the accepted borders, the answer to that is that there were armistice lines drawn after the attack on the fledgling state of Israel in 1948, and those borders have been established since 1948. And in 1967, there was an attack on Israel by multiple Arab states, and the success of Israel's defense during that period did increase the borders.
What are the borders? It's a simple question, Maxine Dover.
Has already been returned to Egypt. It's called the Sinai, an area about seven times the size of the state of Israel.
Okay, last chance for this, the border question for you, Maxine Dover.
Let's not stick to this argument, because of course we're not really going to get anything from Maxine Dover other than fluff pieces and silly details, perhaps another thing about Uber and technology in some Israeli city. The point of the matter in this week's event is that a massacre has taken place. We've had 65 unarmed Palestinians gunned down in the most brutal manner by the most heavily weaponized army in the world, an army that claims and boasts about having very sophisticated weaponry against the people that are under occupation, that have no access to even safe water, let alone safe and sophisticated weaponry. And these young people are being killed on a daily basis. Now, is there a case to take the criminal terrorist state of Israel to court? Of course there is. But of course, Israel is a rogue and terrorist nation, and it isn't signatory to the ICC. It's not even signatory to the anti-nuclear proliferation treaty, even though it has openly admitted it was a nuclear nation when Ehud Olmert in 2002 recognized that Israel owned and possessed nuclear arms. So this is a rogue nation that deserves to be treated as a rogue nation. Now, whether the ICC will deliver is another matter, but we know for a fact that when a heavily armed soldier guns down an unarmed civilian, that is a war crime.
Isn't it, Maxine Dover?
Well, let's go back to the concept of nation. Israel is a democratic state with 20% Arab Israeli citizens who carry Israeli passports and who by the thousands have been expressing on social media their support of Israel as a state, as their state, defense of its borders. So as far as rogue nation, I don't think its citizens would agree with you, and I don't think the majority of the world would agree with you. There are those who will follow
actually
your philosophy. Yes, that's of course true. But that the majority of the world, the Arab nations, to the European nations, to the nations of the Americas, would not agree with you. Israel is a nation that gives all of its citizens equal rights, that gives education, that provides jobs and lifestyle to people who are Arab, to people who are Jewish, to people who are Druze, to people who are Christian.
Well, here's the thing.
It's so democratic that you have Jew-only streets in Israel. It is so democratic that some cars, they're not allowed for Palestinians, and Palestinians are not allowed to build houses. It is so democratic that Ethiopian women of Jewish descent are being sterilized en masse. It is so democratic that Yemeni Jews have had their children taken away from them because they were viewed as underdeveloped people, and they didn't warrant the same treatment as Western European Jews. So what is this notion of democracy when we're seeing flagrant and blatant violations of basic human rights in the most disgusting manner? Many Jewish and Israeli commentators have actually expressed publicly what they've witnessed at the hands of Israeli. Well, no. You've wanted to go back to 48. You want to speak about technological advancement.
So
why not spread the debate beyond? Why not spread beyond? No. Ethiopian women being sterilized, I think, is an interesting point. When you're trying to portray Israel as being somewhat of a democracy, it's a heinous crime that was widely portrayed and published in the Israeli media. What about the Yemeni babies? That's an interesting point that you haven't mentioned. Since we'd like to stray beyond the topic at hand, then let's stray beyond the topic at hand and point to all the Israeli crimes, including, of course, the fact that it continues to occupy Palestinian land and continues to occupy illegally the Golan Heights. Now, back to the subject, of course, which is that Israeli soldiers have gunned down Palestinian unarmed civilians, and as a result, there is a strong case in the ICC against them.
Go ahead, Maxine Dover.
Well, let me just go to some of your points. I think that you must check your facts. Certainly there has been no sterilization or taking away of babies of the Ethiopian community. They are a treasured community, another Jewish community within Israel. Two Miss Israels ago, the winner and the holder of the title was an Ethiopian young woman who was born in Ethiopia and raised in Israel.
Yeah, token Ethiopians, good.
And is currently an ambassador for Israel. But the facts need to be checked by you. This is a democracy. People build houses. They do need to meet normal licensing requirements for houses. That's a matter of safety for the occupant as well as for the community as a whole. That needs to be addressed as a normal procedure for getting a building permit. If you build houses or you build floors on top of houses without having a building inspector check your structure and check your cement, then that's illegal, and that can't be in any society, even in a dictatorship, even in a rogue society such as is going on under Hamas. But to go back to your question with regard to the defense of the border, this again is a fantastic public relations methodology. These are not unarmed nor peaceful protesters. Yesterday, an interview was held with a Gazan surgeon who was working in a hospital and had the tragic occurrence of finding his brother, who was an activist and who had been joined in the protests, being brought into the hospital. The brother died. The doctor questioned, and this was not to any interview except NPR, National Public Radio, which is a very neutral, or if not neutral, then center-left organization. The doctor questioned the value of this type of protest and whether or not the people of Gaza were actually being led in a direction that was helpful to them or simply to the Hamas leaders.
Jews in the Warsaw ghetto actually fought against the Nazis
Excuse me?
Why didn't they just take the Nazi atrocities lying down?
We're talking about 2018. We're talking about bringing a people We're talking about 2018 and bringing a people who is an intelligent people, an educated people, a cultured people.
So do you think the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto were wrong in rising up against Nazi atrocities?
And I question whether or
do you think it wasn't an effective way of protesting?
I question whether or not the people of Gaza would prefer to have houses above ground or terror tunnels below ground.
Okay, go
My
ahead.
My guess is they would vote for houses above ground.
Sakhar Mustafa, go ahead.
Maxine Devere, one question. Was Rachel Corrie unarmed or unarmed?
Rachel Corrie walked in front of a bulldozer.
You know, the woman,
she
the American
unarmed.
Peace activist who was mowed down by a bulldozer, by an Israeli soldier.
She walked
was she
in
armed
front
or
of a
unarmed?
Bulldozer. And was in fact killed. That's
was
a tragedy.
She armed or unarmed? It's
Rachel Corrie is a single person who was focused on
was
being
Tim
in front
Handel,
of a bulldozer.
Armed or unarmed?
Would
Maxine
you
Dover.
Be in front of a bulldozer? Would you be in front
was
of a
Tim
bus?
Was Tim Handel it's armed an, or unarmed? These are simple questions, Maxine
place
Dover.
To put oneself.
Go ahead.
Oh, I see. Okay, so would
question?
You argue that the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto were wrong to rise up against Nazi rule? Should they have just stayed in the ghetto and accept the Nazi leadership without reacting to the occupation and the atrocities they were submitted to? Would you say that they were wrong and that was not an effective
well, my dear,
way of protesting
their
treatment?
If they had, if they had been allowed to stay in the ghetto, if they had stayed in the ghetto, if the Nazis had in fact allowed them to stay in the ghetto rather than transporting them by train after train after train to their poisoning and cremation in the places called Auschwitz and Birkenau and several other renowned
so were they
places
wrong
of torture
so they should
and death,
have just taken it
that
lying
would
down.
Have been a different question. The fact is that the Nazis had every intention of destroying the Warsaw Ghetto down to its last occupant. These were people
and what would
who
you
were
call
not
the most sophisticated
to, quote,
army
stay,
burning down
in the ghetto.
And continuously blowing up Palestinian houses and gunning down Palestinian youths of 15, 13, 20-year-old Palestinians.
Well,
how is
what,
that
what about
different?
Making
how is
that,
the
okay.
policy,
making
the genocidal
use,
policies of
what
Israel
about using
different
the sophistication
to what the Nazis
of,
have been doing?
Okay, what we're getting at here, basically, which because we're running short of
let
time.
Let me tell you, that sophisticated army would...
If you don't mind, Maxine, we're running short of time. Let me address...
Would certainly prefer to lend its sophistication to building and rather than destroying.
Okay. One of the core questions here that needs to be addressed... And Maxine Dover, I'll start with you, and I'll go to Hafsakar Mustafa with the same question, is the fact that during this Great March of Return protest, you had overall 120 Palestinians who were killed. And if you want to go through the death toll of the Gaza wars and, of course, through the occupied territories throughout the past years and decades, well, you know, you're going to get a rather large number of Palestinians who have been killed. My point being that the loss of life needs to be addressed here. I think that is what the Palestinian foreign minister would like to have addressed by going to the ICC. You can't be a foreign minister of Palestine, and whether you agree with whether it's a state or not, when you have 62 of your brothers being killed and not do anything about it. So the loss of Palestinian lives, Maxine Dover,
well, 60,
who's going to answer to this?
Number,
who's going to answer to
not the number that you used earlier?
62 was for the day that we're talking about the Great March of Return
to
total.
It. The leadership of Hamas has to answer to it. The leadership of Hamas has to explain to the people of Gaza why they have destroyed this place that was at one point in bloom. When the Israelis left Gaza, and they left entirely to the last iota, the only thing that was, in fact, left was a possibility of economic growth. The greenhouses were left. The infrastructure system was left. And Hamas, rather than making use of that for positive economic growth, destroyed it.
Okay.
They destroyed the greenhouses. The greenhouses were producing fruit and vegetables for all over the world and all over Europe especially.
Hafsakar Mustafa, go ahead.
it's very difficult to debate with somebody that blatantly lies. I mean, we've seen the footage of Israeli soldiers and Israeli helicopters pounding Gaza and destroying everything. We remember that the EU actually helped build an airport, Palestinian airport, and that was destroyed by Ariel Sharon. Every Israeli leadership comes in and pounds Palestinians time and time again in order to remind them that they are occupying them, that they are controlling their lives. This idea that Israel left Gaza blooming is utterly ridiculous, and I feel it's very difficult to debate with somebody that simply lies through their teeth in such a blatant way. It is utterly shameful to hear such blatant lies when even Israelis recognize, when you even have Israeli NGOs and observers and journalists actually condemning the atrocities committed there by their leadership and by their army. I mean, why are their military, why are their soldiers actually resigning from the army, disgusted by the actions of their fellow soldiers? Why are they people like Miko Peled and other General Sun people, high-ranking officials, actually condemning the actions of Israel if all of this was just blooming and everything was fine? I think this is utterly ridiculous. Again, coming back to the topic of the day, which is the ICC regulation, I would actually commend the decision by the Palestinian Authority to finally take this step, because I think this has been something long time in the coming. We've been hoping and expecting some measures such as this for many, many years now, because this isn't the first massacre. We've had Jenin, we've had 2014, we've had several times Operation Cast Lead, where Palestinians were slaughtered in their hundreds, if not in their thousands, and nothing happened. No international condemnation, no boycott, official boycott from any Western government. So this, while I don't believe will result in anything fruitful, is a step in the right direction, because Israel, the criminal state of Israel, the terrorist state of Israel, has to be held to account.
Very well. We're going to unfortunately have to end it there. Thank you, journalist and Middle East expert Hafsakar Mustafa, and also thank you, reporter and political commentator Maxine Dover from New York. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikovic Havli, entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.